Welcome to The Filibuster, the podcast of the Union University Political Science Department. I am Seth Brake, and I'm here with Sean Evans, who's the chair of the Political Science Department and a professor of political science. We're continuing a conversation we've had about Trump's first few weeks in office. Last time, we talked about executive actions and the power of the president. So if you're interested in those, definitely check out that episode. But this time, I really wanted to set some time aside to talk about one particularly interesting thing that's been happening in the new administration, and that is the DOGE agency, or the Department of Government Efficiency. Sean, thank you so much for joining us. I have so many questions, but I'll first thank you for being here.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be here. Yeah.
So I'm going to put this bluntly.
Okay.
Why is Elon Musk in the government?
Because he spent $250 million to help elect President Trump, and Trump said, hey, we need to make our government more efficient. Musk has gone through and cut workforces and increased productivity. So he said he would do that while campaigning. And it also fits with overall conservative goals of trying to reduce the size of government.
Okay, that makes sense. It still feels weird. Is this unusual? Is this something completely new?
Yes and no. It's not new in that presidents have consistently complained about making the government more responsive to them, and they have tried different ways to ensure better management. Nixon changed the Bureau of the Budget, the Office of Management and Budget, to give it more management authority. Carter revised the senior executive service, the top layer of civil servants. Clinton had reinventing government. What's different with this is that you've got one person from the outside coming in, and he's doing stuff. He and his hired people are doing stuff without really talking to other people, and they're making decisions. And we're not sure what kind of oversight is being provided. At least with reinventing government, Vice President Gore was in charge of that. What we see with this is they're going in, they're taking over codes, they're rewriting it, and they're cutting off money to things that they don't like. And so to see something done this quickly and with that much impact, we've never seen something like this before.
Is there also a certain, I don't know, again, I'm approaching these things with a certain bemusement because, I mean, the name's a joke, right? Doge is a meme that Elon Musk would reference often before entering government. You know, am I correct in saying that the vibes are off on this?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, wasn't Doge connected to a crypto?
Yes, there was a joke cryptocurrency as well.
Currency associated with Musk. But I think Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, I mean, it just fit that.
Okay. So we're rolling with it.
Yeah.
Maybe let's get some foundations then. So talk to me about the idea of the administrative state. I mean, what is this? What is this thing as a force of government, and why do presidents care about it?
Okay, so when we're looking at the administrative state, we're basically looking what developed in the late 1800s, beginning with the Interstate Commerce Commission, which was designed to regulate railroads to make sure that they were not price gouging and putting competitors out of business and other kinds of things. And since then, we've seen through the progressive reforms, the idea we're trying to regulate big business to promote competition. Then in FDR's New Deal, we tried to regulate business more to manage the economy, to prevent things like Great Depressions. Then you have things like LBJ's Great Society, where we're beginning not just to regulate business, but to regulate individual activity in ways that we had not before, and whether through welfare programs and other things to, here's things that government can and cannot, that business can and cannot do, because we're concerned about the environment, consumer protection, and these kinds of things, to where government becomes much more intrusive. And so we've seen it increase in size and power over time, though I will say we haven't quite increased the size of the government as most people think. With the Great Society programs, we expanded the size of government, but most of the Great Society programs requires the government to write a check, not to have government employees do something. So the size of government has increased dramatically, but the number of government employees has not.
Okay.
Now, presidents are concerned about the administrative state, because whether they deserve it or not, they're going to get credit and blame for national issues, even though they share responsibility with others. And so for that reason, they're going to want to be able to exercise control over the bureaucracy so that they can ensure their policy is followed. But at the same time, they want to make sure that the bureaucracy doesn't embarrass the president and doesn't do things that's going to make it more difficult for the president to get reelected.
Okay. And is this a common problem where the president is either undercut or sees or has trouble working with the administrative state?
Well, I think what I would say is the bureaucracy is big, it's complicated, and it's hard to manage. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican president. And the thing that we need to remember is that some departments are favored by Democrats, some by Republicans. And so depending upon what party of the president you are, you're happy with some departments and less others. You're more concerned about the ones which are contrary to your party's interest.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So what are some things presidents have tried to do in the past then to rein in or control or influence the administrative state?
So there's several things they've done. The first thing is they've tried to politicize it. And this is by and large by staffing the bureaucracy with people of their own choosing.
Okay.
Especially the assistant secretaries, the deputy secretaries, and the people that work for them. Second thing they've tried to do is centralize control of decisions in the White House. Basically, all regulations, all department and agency suggestions for legislative change must go through the Office of Management and Budget to make sure it aligns with the president's prerogatives. And it's also part of the idea of to make sure that the bureaucracies are doing what we want. The White House wants to make all those decisions. What they've also tried to do is propose reforms to make the bureaucracy work better, with some success, but not the success that we need. And what's also interesting about this is one of the strategies presidents follow is they disassociate themselves from the bureaucracy by attacking it. Reagan said that government's the problem, not the solution. Or you've got President Trump talking about a deep state or shadowy, faceless bureaucrats working against the president's agenda. The idea is they're trying to disassociate themselves from the bureaucracy so they will not be blamed for it.
You said that some of these things didn't have the success that we need. What do we need?
Well, now that's a big question there. Here's the thing. Both people on the left and the right, Democrats and Republicans, agree that the bureaucracy as it is not working well. And so what people would say is most people believe we need to improve the governance infrastructure on some level. How that's done is of more debate.
Okay.
There are people think that we need to improve the analytical capacity of the government to where they have the data they need to make decisions. And part of this is we do have a lot of out-of-date IT programs to where we don't always know what everyone is doing. We need to improve the personnel system. What we have found is that it's difficult to recruit and retain good people and talented people. This may surprise people, government was some of the first users of AI to help get a better grasp on what all the government agencies and bureaucracies are doing because they do have limited employees. And I think what some people would say, and that this would be potentially controversial, is stabilizing the leadership. In terms of improving the personnel system, we do have dead weight, but we also have the problem of a lot of our best executives are older, and when they resign or they retire or they're forced out, the people below them do not have the credentials, because we've been complaining about government for years.
Right.
The people are not going into government because, hey, I can make a big difference here anymore. And so part of the question is, in terms of stabilizing leadership, is we have what is called a government of strangers. We appoint people, but the average appointee lasts about 2 years. So it's hard for political appointees to engage in long-term planning, because once they develop a plan, they're gone, and will the person who replaced them follow up on it?
Sure.
So part of the idea is we need more stable civil service leadership who can think long-term, figure out the best way to get the bureaucracy to do what needs to be done, and also be responsive to the president at the same time. So those are kind of the big things that people talk about, but and there's an agreement that it many of these things need to be done.
Yeah.
The question is actually getting it done.
Okay. So I think that makes sense as a framework here. So now enter Musk and the Doge. What are they doing?
Well, that's the big concern. So here's my problem. Everyone's in favor of getting rid of waste and fraud.
Yeah.
They haven't identified much fraud at all. Now, we do have inspector generals who have identified fraud, but we just fired a bunch of our inspector generals, which kind of makes that difficult. But it's also Congress has to pass laws to make some of these changes. And sometimes so fraud everyone wants to get rid of, but the waste depends upon who you are. So there's some things we do with waste that benefits constituents, and we want to perpetuate the waste. Most of the waste that the Doge has identified so far are small programs, which waste depends upon what your definition of wasteful spending is. And so that's going to vary by party. My big concern with this is that they're going in, so it's a broke system. They're breaking it more, and then they'll figure out how to fix it. I think a better way of looking at this is figuring out what's broke and then fixing it, and then deciding how many people we need in a department and everything else, or is this the best way to deliver foreign aid or whatever else. And so it seems to me the goal is to get rid of bureaucrats without thinking about what are they doing and what should they be doing.
Does the DOGE have any power, any real power?
They have the power of recommendation, and as long as the president goes along with it, they can do this. So, I mean, we're going to learn an awful lot about what power presidents have about this.
Right.
So, depending upon who you read, they can lay off some people, but the idea of trying to get rid of agencies and departments, that's going to require congressional action to do that.
Okay.
So, Doge can recommend that we lay off everyone in USAID, but still Congress created. Congress did not create USAID, but Congress then affirmed it in law, to where they have to get rid of it. And the idea is if Congress has created an agency, can you actually fire everyone in the agency?
Right.
Because it's congressionally authorized.
So on the one side, we have completely getting rid of an agency, which is something that you need Congress to do. And then on the other side, we have just firing an individual employee, which is something that you just need the president's permission to do, or you recommend to the president and the president
Most time it's the president's appointees and others.
Of course, right. Okay.
Do that.
Right. So you need a rubber stamp on one side, you need Congress on the other side, and it's that stuff that's in the middle that's maybe the question. Like, if you lay off everyone in an agency, is that the same thing as eliminating the agency or something like that?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I mean, or are things like telling the Consumer Finance Bureau, I think there's something else in there. They basically told people, don't show up to work 1 week, and we're going to get rid of all the things that you've done. You're not going to be able to enforce things. Well, if Congress created a bureaucracy to do something, you can't fire all the people because you're not executing the law.
I see.
And so I think on one level, we have a distinction between Trump as president and Trump as chief executive. Trump is, as president, is trying to use his power to achieve his policy and ideological goals, but he is ignoring the chief executive side to take care that the laws are faithfully executed, which means the laws that Congress has passed, not the laws that you like.
Part
of being chief executive is, how do we manage the bureaucracy well?
Yeah.
And he's not thinking about that. He's thinking, how do I reduce the size of the bureaucracy, not how do we help government do what it needs to.
So you mentioned things that you just can and can't do in these scenarios, but those who listened to our last episode on government, on executive actions, might know that what you can and can't do is kind of fuzzy and is sometimes the purview of judges and these legal decisions that are a little bit obscure to me. So how much of this really does have these hard lines on what you can and can't do, and how much of this is just going to depend on a judge noticing or a litigation going through and having to be frozen? And
yeah, so
what are they going to get away with?
Well, I think the more they do things by executive action, the more challenge they would have.
Right.
I would think if Congress was smart in this reconciliation bill, they would give President Trump reorganization authority, which we gave to presidents on a regular basis for decades, but we really haven't done it in the last 40 years because we don't trust what the other side would do. I think if you do political reorganization to reduce government spending, you could fit that under reconciliation instructions. And that would give them a little bit more authority to do things. But they still can't get rid of certain agencies without congressional approval, even under reorganization authority.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, there is a path where if you wanted the DOGE to be effective, that Congress could give it a certain amount of power.
They would give the president power, and then he would allow DOGE to make recommendations that he can follow up on. What I might say with what DOGE is doing is, so far, they're going after the easy targets.
Okay.
Things like foreign aid. Foreign aid's not popular with many people at all. Government bureaucrats are not popular with people at all. The Consumer Finance Bureau is not popular with business, which is which means Republicans are happy to see that. The Department of Ed, they're not really getting rid of the Department of Ed. Mm-hmm. They're moving the things that Department of Ed do to different departments.
I see.
And then maybe get rid of the few thousand bureaucrats that are remaining. I mean, if they really wanted to get rid of Department of Ed, then they could do things like get out of the student loan business, turn the Title I spending into block grants and other kinds of things. But that would create a whole bunch of political problems. So the real thing with DOGE is, what happens when they start going after Republican constituencies?
Right.
And that's when it will be problematic.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about how this works then. Let's do some evaluation. I mean, is there anything good that the DOGE has done?
I think that's to be decided because we don't know everything that DOGE is doing.
Okay.
And so
there's no transparency here.
That's one of the big problems with it. Now, they put up a website this morning.
Okay.
We'll see what they start putting on that.
Hmm.
There are concerns about what kind of information that DOGE is getting access to. There are concerns about privacy in that regard.
Okay.
I think the larger concern also is what kind of impact is this going to have on the bureaucracy? I mean, think about what they're saying and what they're trying to do. They are denigrating the work of government.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're trying to get people to retire, and they're trying to let go other people. Now, if you're a person looking for a job, are you going to want to work for a organization that you're told is corrupt and wasteful? In which case, what's the quality of people that will be working for that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know you can be fired when the next administration comes in, do you really want that job?
Right. That makes attracting the labor harder.
Yeah. And then we have the idea of government is expected to do certain things.
Right.
And we want them to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the question is what DOGE doing, is that making it easier for government to do things well, or is it just getting rid of people who we think are not in line with the president's agenda?
Yes.
We have to remember that delivering Social Security checks, providing emergency assistance for natural disasters, protecting people, securing the border, making sure drugs that go to public are safe, that all requires government to do some things well. And so the question is, are we making government working more effectively and efficiently, or are we just reducing the size of government without thinking about efficiency and effectiveness?
Well, that's a useful framework. When Biden was leaving office, he gave this farewell address, and he warned about a tech oligarchy. He suggested that these tech leaders are getting too powerful and things like that. So as Biden leaves, and then we see a tech CEO with a prominent and maybe powerful position in the federal government, is this what Biden was warning about? Do you think he had a point, or is this something different?
No, I think you can point to that and the tech CEOs who had prominent places at the Trump inauguration.
Yeah.
I think when we're looking at technology, they have a lot of control over the information that we receive. Mm-hmm. They create things that we use every single day. I mean, most people carry along, what, a 3x6 computer with them all the time that's tracking everything that they are doing.
Sure.
And so you had Chovoff write about surveillance capitalism, about tech companies collecting all this information on you so that they can learn how to manipulate you. I think that is a concern. I think it's also a concern when you have a tech oligarch like Trump going in just trying to cut because he is advancing his libertarian views when to a certain extent I'm not too sure the American public voted for everything that Trump is doing. Do they want to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse? Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what Musk's idea of waste, fraud, and abuse is coincides with what most Americans think it is.
Do you think there's any potential that any good comes out of this?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that, I mean, to a certain extent, we've got a 1930s government in the 21st century.
Hmm.
If we can do things to improve how we manage and do things, I think that could be good. I mean, I think there are a lot of things that we can do to improve efficiency in that regard. And I think technology can help us with that. And so I think the efficiency is the best thing that they can do as long as it doesn't undermine effectiveness.
Okay. Well, some things to look out for and some things to maybe hope happen. Thank you for your thoughts on this, Sean. It's been a really interesting conversation about the DOGE, and I look forward to speaking with you again on these things pretty soon, but I yield the remainder of my time. Thank you.